and welcome to Como Explained. It's a podcast from the KBIA newsroom that takes some of the thorny issues and politics that affect our community and breaks them down. I'm Scott Pham, the digital content director here at KBIA. My co-host today is Ryan Femuliner. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm good, Scott. Thanks for asking. Another week. We had a pretty good intersection show this week about crime in Colombia. That's kind of the big story going on in town.
It's one of those things that people have asked us to do a lot, and I think we're going to get to it. We're going to get to it soon.
Yeah, there's a lot happening right now, basically. I want to see how it all shakes out, and then we can kind of give you that overview. But fortunately, there's plenty of coverage, too. If you're really interested in that topic, listen to our intersection show. It was great. We had Mayor McDavid, city councilwoman, Laura Nauzer, some other members of this task force that are going to be on there as well, working on this as well. So there's lots of good material there. So for now, we're kind of holding off. We'll definitely get to that topic later, at least once, probably more.
Yeah. Good, man. Good.
All right, cool. How about you? How you doing?
I'm good. Good. You know, we normally do these podcasts in the afternoon. Right now, it's like noon.
Mm-hmm.
Still feels very early to me. I feel like I'm just getting started, which is not true, but I feel like I'm just getting started.
Yeah, I know. Just kind of a little off routine, right? So
yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, so this week we are talking about farmers markets, and it's such a funny thing because like there's this joke that farmers markets are like a super public radio topic.
Right, and here we are. We're going to talk for 20 to 30 minutes or something like that about farmers markets. But it's interesting. You found a lot of interesting material about the farmers market situation here in town. But it's one of those things I think a lot of people wonder about. We have two of them every Saturday during the months that they can operate anyway.
Yeah.
And they're within like a half mile of each other.
Yeah, yeah. I Google mapped it 0.6 miles away. Almost visible from that location.
Yes.
Some buildings were shorter.
Built
you can
tower.
Easily walk. Yeah. So, I mean, this is where the idea came from. It came from Reddit, actually, when we asked people maybe a couple of months ago, what are some things that you want explained about Colombia? And one Reddit user Huck Finn.
Nice name.
Yeah. He didn't ask the question, but he gave us some information. Somebody asked the question, why are there two farmers markets on the same day? And Huck Finn said they used to be the same farmers market, and then there was a split. So we wondered, like, what is that split? What is the history there? What you know, tore one farmer's market into two competing markets?
Yeah, and he had a pretty good line of thought on that. It seemed like looking at his comment, you have it printed off here, he was pretty much dead on, but there's also more to it as well, right? And that's kind of what we figured out. So that's what we're going to go through today. So, okay. So as you said, it was just one in the beginning. Explain that to me, Scott. When was this started, this farmer's market?
The farmer's market got started in 1980. It goes back then. I called a few people that were involved in the very beginning. I talked to Dan Kibler, who was the chair of the farmer's market for a very long time. He told me that prior to the 1980s in Colombia, people were buying local produce from farmers, but they weren't doing it in a market setting. It was often actually like a stand in the parking lot of like a gas station or something.
Like at the side of your van kind of thing?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Not irregular, not real hours, anything like that. Just whenever you can wrassle up some produce and go sell it to whoever happens to be there that day.
Yeah,
right?
It was not organized. It was there were several of these spread around, and then some people had the idea if we got together and found one place to give some regularity of space and time to the whole experience, then that it increased customer flow. We'd be able to develop some relationships and start to actually move some produce.
Sure. So they got motivated. They want to work with each other, kind of thing. And so 1980, where did they go?
So the first space was at the old Boone County Fairgrounds, which is on Ash Street and Clink Scales Road. That's actually where they are now and where the Arc is now. But back in the 80s, that was the old fairgrounds.
Yeah, and a 20-acre space. Like you said, the Arc's there now. And then, obviously the Boone County Fairgrounds is not there anymore. But that was in 1980. That's what did the property look like back then, I guess?
It was a pretty nice property. It was undeveloped, so there was kind of a haphazard parking everywhere. It's one of the main things you need in a farmer's market, plentiful parking. But the other thing that it had that was really good for them was it had a pavilion, basically a big roof space, big open roof space, which allowed them to keep their produce cool, keep themselves cool from the hot Missouri sun in the summer, and protect them from weather.
Yeah, if it's going to rain or whatever, that's going to definitely ruin your farmer's market experience, right? So,
yeah.
So, yeah, so that they're there in 1980, and things go pretty well for a while.
Yeah, things go pretty well for a while until 1992.
Yeah, 1992, things change a little bit, right? The Boone County Fair Board decides to trade this property, this 20 acres, in a pretty good location in Columbia, right there, you know, some shopping districts, or at least there are now, near major intersections. They trade this for 226 acres north of town where the current Boone County Fairgrounds are. They swap it with Ron and Vicky Shy, from what we can tell. Vicky Shy is a local realtor. Mm-hmm. They traded property. So now in 1992, this property in the center of town is kind of just in limbo, right? It's not something that this farmer's market can use anymore. The farmer's market.
No, they actually tear down all the structures there, which are not many. It's kind of like an event space, seating, the pavilions. But they tear down that pavilion and they basically kick the farmer's market out.
Right. Now all of a sudden they need to just go look for a new place, right?
Right. So the best place they can find is at the old Parkade Plaza. I guess it's still called the Parkade Plaza.
Yeah.
But that's kind of north of town, in between Business Loop and I-70. So it's like it's a lot more of an urban location where they were before. It's kind of a quiet residential neighborhood, but still pretty close in. Now they're right by the freeway. They're on blacktop parking lot, and it's really hot all the time.
Yeah, and a big parking lot with some kind of like department stores, things like that. It's really close to the Ellis Fischel Cancer Center, or former Ellis Fischel Cancer Center in that area. So yeah, it's definitely completely different. And like you said, it's also in a big blacktop with no sheltered area. And that kind of played a big role in how things played out, right?
Yeah, the way some people tell this story, this is like a really important moment in the history of Columbia Farmers Market. Because for 2 years, they were out there at Parkade Plaza. And this is their first time in their history dealing without a shelter, dealing without something over their heads. So they got to figure it out, right? They're trying to build tents out of tarps. They have these canopies that are basically just patio furniture.
And, like just an umbrella with like some wire furniture. That's how they're trying to sell their stuff. And
a patio umbrella, the kind of thing that would go like on a little patio table or something. That's what they're doing. Yeah, so none of it is big enough. It's all unwieldy. It's a big, difficult thing to put in the back of your truck. This is actually kind of a weird technology problem because at this time in the early 90s, the people I talked to said that the pop-up canopies that you see now weren't very common. Were not easy to find.
Yeah, which that's what you see today at farmers markets. You see it if you're a Mizzou football fan. You see those set up at every tailgater has one of those out in the parking lots before games on Saturdays. They're really common now, right? But yeah, I looked this up because I was curious. That when you told me that after talking to these guys, I was shocked. I'm like, that doesn't seem like some huge revolution in technology. But the earliest patent I could find for it was 1986 for a pop-up tent.
So basically, that's a modern invention in tenting technology.
Exactly. Yeah. What did they do before? They wrestled with. I've said wrestled twice in this podcast. They wrestled with patio umbrellas and tarps and didn't know what the heck to do. How can I mean, like, that's like this has been the struggle. Portable shelter has been a struggle in human life for generations, right?
We fixed it now.
And all of a sudden it was fixed in 1986 with a pop-up tent. But yes, I guess it was. But anyway, so so no pop-up tents at that time.
No pop-up
so they're trying
tents.
To figure out what to do. And maybe I guess maybe it was really rainy and hot in these 2 years in 1992 every Saturday from 1992 to 1994. People were just kind of upset about it that were working at the farmer's market and said this is just not going to work, right?
Yeah. Also, you know, they point out that even if you can get some kind of tent situation figured out, it's really mostly just covering up the table and your own crops. So people walking around to that blacktop, they're not feeling so great. They don't want to stay out for a long time. You're going to get fewer sales. So in 1995, they were lucky. They only had to spend 2 years there, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because that's the weird thing about that property too is that in 1994, Ron and Vicky Shy, that realtor that had that 20 acres of land in central Columbia that was traded for Boone County Fairgrounds, they decided to donate that land to the city of Columbia for recreation use.
Mm-hmm. Remember, it used to be county, and then it went into private hands, and now it's with the city.
Right, and that's in the course of 2 years.
Yeah, so this is totally new owner.
Right, and so then, like you said, after 2 years, then some possibilities open up, right?
Yeah, yeah. So then they have a relationship with the city, and the Columbia invites them back, and they say, go ahead and lease some cheap land here. We have 20 acres of it. We're not really doing anything with it right now. We just got it. So they go back to the old fairgrounds, and everything is nice again, except now they don't have a pavilion. Now they're just out basically the same place they are now, this big pitch of gravel.
Mm-hmm. Well, and still at this point, the tents aren't – even though that technology has been around for a while, they're not as common, right? I don't know if they just weren't available or what. So, yeah, it seems like from people you've talked to, they still – the shelter issue was still something they were thinking about.
Yeah. At this point, the board decides they're going to assign a subcommittee. They're going to get a few people, and they're going to say, your job is to think about how to find us a permanent structure. We don't know what the possibilities are, but go and look into it. Maybe find somebody to design something. Figure out how much it would cost. And this brings us to the kind of weird way board politics work. I want to step back a little bit so that people understand this, right? So all nonprofits have a board. They're not controlled by a single person. They have a board that controls the organization. The numbers vary, but Columbia Farmers Market is a nonprofit organization, and they have a board that is all farmers. They're all people that are vendors at the market. So it's basically a self-run organization. So this is the way it's been for basically the entire time Columbia Farmers Market was around. But then when they create this subcommittee, it begins to grow. They begin to get more people involved. And eventually, in 1998, the subcommittee becomes its own nonprofit. They decide they need to have their own organization to kind of look for property and figure out how to build that. That becomes Sustainable Farms and Communities. So it's kind of this started off as just kind of this informal group that was part of Columbia Farmers Market, and now it's its own separate nonprofit.
Okay. So who's on this board then?
Yeah. The interesting thing is that there are some vendors on the board, but a lot of them are not vendors. They come from the community. They're people that are into sustainability. Some of them come from the university. And then here's a weirder thing too. They want the city to have buy-in for their plans. So they actually eventually get 3 representatives from the city to be on the board. So now, at this point, with Sustainable Farms and Communities, there's a minority of farmer-vendor representation, and there's more people from the community.
And so at this point, though, the Sustainable Farms and Communities, what's their role with overseeing? It's still just kind of like this auxiliary kind of parallel group, right? I mean, they're not really in charge of the farmer's market at this point,
No, they're,
right?
they're not no. really in charge of the farmer's market. At this point, they are just kind of looking into how to build a permanent structure. At some point, they actually hire an architect and they draw up plans and they start looking for funding. But things escalate a little bit when something strange happens. The city eventually decides to build the ARC, the recreation center that's at that property
right.
now.
That's around 2001, 2002 is when all the proposals come out. It actually goes up in 2002. And in the meantime, all this construction's going on. So the farmers market, of course, has to move temporarily again. They had to move to Parkade a few years ago. Now they have to find another place to move. They weren't really thrilled with Parkade, right?
They hated Parkade.
Yeah.
So at this point, they went somewhere nearby. It's not such a big deal because unlike the time they moved to Parkade, they know they're coming back. This is just a temporary thing.
Right.
So they all go to the Boone County Health Department. That's just about half a mile away. It's on Worley Street and West. And it's a fine place. It has a little bit less parking, a little bit less space for vendors, but it's fine. At this point, pop-up tents exist. So
we have this revolution. The revolution has materialized.
Yeah, the revolution in farmers market technology has happened, and they are protected from the sun, so it's an okay place. But they do want to go back, and they do want to get started with, you know, trying to get this permanent space. Sustainable Farms and Communities has decided that if they're going to get city buy-in to help build this space, they need to actually own the lease for the space. So it used to be that there was a lease that Columbia Farmers Market, that nonprofit, paid and owned every year to the city. Now Sustainable Farms and Communities takes that lease up.
Ah, coup. Yeah. It's a coup.
That's a weird little shift in power. it's kind of like the child has grown up and
right. And others want to take care of it too. The community now wants a part in it, right? It's not just this little thing that these farmers have thought up and have created over the last 20 years or so, right?
Right. So in about 2002, at the end of that season, they're going to go back to Columbia Farmers Market, and this is going to be the first time the Sustainable Farms and Communities owns that lease. But then it turns out that before they move right next to the Ark where they are now, a group of farmers kind of decided, you know what, we're not down with Sustainable Farms and Communities. We don't like that they own the lease. We're not into this big space. It was like really big. It looked really expensive. Close to $3 million was
the estimated cost. Oh, wow. For the structures they're talking about?
The structures they're talking about. Because Sustainable Farms and Communities, I guess we should back up a little bit.
Sure.
Sustainable Farms and Communities had, partially because they had all these different voices on their board, wanted to become something more than just a farmer's market, right? They wanted to use the farmer's market as like one arm in, you know, this mission of educating people about food and trying to develop sustainable food choices and starting up some other programs around those things.
So the committee kind of started with this simple idea of how can we make a permanent structure, and then all of a sudden it became maybe something a little different, it sounds like, right?
Or a little bit more, at least.
Yeah,
yeah. So part of the reason why the structure became so expensive was that they wanted it to be an educational center. They wanted it to be able to hold events, and that's why that price went up. So, yeah, a group of farmers decided, you know, we're not really into this. All we really want to do is sell our produce.
That's all we're doing, okay? We're just trying to flip our stuff here.
Just trying to flip our
stuff.
We're
just trying to sell it. We don't want to have to worry about educating people and all that. We're just doing our job and coming here on Saturdays to sell our stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, and again, it's not just one simple issue, right? It's kind of to that board politics thing, it sounds like. Is that what you got from the people you talked to?
Yeah. I mean, it's the board politics are confusing because a board can be an instrument of governing yourself, or it also can be an instrument of being governed in this weird way. And the line, I guess, is not always clear. And this group of farmers decided to call that line out. And they said that we're not into it anymore. You guys go back to the Ark. That's fine. We're going to stay here.
Okay. So now at the Ark, we've got Sustainable Farms and Communities, which is that basically now one and the same as Columbia Farmers Market?
No, actually, they're still separate. Columbia Farmers Market is still the organization that runs the farmers market, but Sustainable Farms and Community owns the lease.
I see.
So these two kind of run in tandem.
These two nonprofits are the ones working at the Ark, and then so who's left at the Boone County Health Department?
Yeah, they call themselves Boone County Farmers Market.
Boone County Farmers Market. Okay, the Boone County Health Department. That makes sense, I guess. So are they their own nonprofit now, too?
They're their own nonprofit.
So one nonprofit grows to three nonprofits.
One nonprofit becomes three nonprofits, yeah. And it's interesting. They were all, you know, they're all the same people. They all started off as the same people. And I talked to representatives from Columbia Farmers Market. I talked to representatives from Boone County Farmers Market. I mean, they talk about those times, they use the word family a lot, you know. They felt like a very cohesive whole. They saw each other every week. They all live very similar lifestyles, and they're all kind of trying to help each other out towards this simple goal of selling their produce.
But then all of a sudden, like happens in some families, you got a family rift, I guess, right?
Family rift.
That's kind of what it is.
That couldn't be solved.
That couldn't be solved, so they just say, fine, we'll each do our own things. We'll each have our own Christmases, and we won't go to each other's Christmases. Except it happens every Saturday, right?
The saddest thing ever.
But that's what... Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll take it for weekends. You'll get in for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
No, but nobody could come up with an issue. No one could come to an agreement on that, right?
Yeah,
that's the big, like, immediate question on this is, why do we have two farmers markets a half mile away that happen at the same time every week? So, yeah, nobody decided to move from Saturday. Do we know why everybody stayed on Saturday morning?
I have no idea why people stay on Saturday morning.
It doesn't really make a lot of sense, but I guess it's just, I mean, traditionally, that's where you're going to go to a farmer's market, right?
Yeah, we're talking about this. We think that it just might be that if you're trying to be a dominant farmer's market, if you're trying to be like the place where people go to get the produce, you can't do it on Sunday. I think Sunday doesn't work.
Yeah, you got people going to church. The farmers maybe going to church as well. You can't do it during the week because, yeah, your people aren't out shopping at farmers markets during the week as much you wouldn't expect, at least not in the morning hours. People are going to work. Again, the farmers are working during the week as well. Saturday's just, you know, that's kind of where people's habits were, especially since they'd been around for 20 years. So everyone just decided to keep doing what they were doing, right?
Yeah, Saturday is the farmer's market day. And I think both of these organizations wanted to be the farmer's market because at this time, it was an even split. There were about 70 vendors in the organization. 35 of them went to Boone County Farmers Market at the health department. 35 stayed with Columbia Farmers Market.
Okay. So what are the numbers like now? Or have they changed?
They're different.
Okay.
The numbers are different. Columbia Farmers Market has blown up. It's gotten much, much bigger. It's close to 80 vendors, some people say.
Wow.
The number might fluctuate on certain days, but it's close to 80 vendors. So it's basically doubled in size. Boone County Farmers Market has shrunk. And it's down to about 15. And there's a few reasons for that, I think.
Which are?
Yeah. Thanks, Ryan.
Come on, Scott.
Get to the point. One reason is that Columbia Farmers Market actively tried to grow their membership. So one thing they did was they kind of widened the geographical area that they drew farmers from. So to be a vendor at Columbia Farmers Market, your farm has to be within 55 miles of Columbia. So that's a pretty good distance, actually.
Yeah, 55 miles any direction as the crow flies, if you will. That's a pretty wide swath of mid-Missouri. I mean, far enough that if you were 55 miles east or west, you might think about going to Kansas City or St. Louis anyway instead of coming to Columbia, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you have your choice there. The Boone County Farmers Market is a little bit more local. You have to be in Boone County or any county that touches Boone.
Yeah, so that most directions wouldn't go as far as that 55 miles.
Yeah, it's not a huge difference, but it's enough that it helps Columbia Farmers Market grow. Another thing I think is that there's a bit of an age thing going on, too. I think the group that stayed with Boone County Farmers Market was older. I think a lot of these values of sustainability and food politics are kind of like a younger person's thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And so the older guys, well, yeah, I guess they just unfortunately
it was like, yeah, we're not into
right?
it. It's not worth our time. It's not worth our money. We're going to stay here.
This is where we should have agriculture reporter Abby Fincher Swanson on deck to say, well, here's what's happening with old farmers in the Midwest.
Yeah, they do a lot of
yeah, but it's
reporting
not,
on that.
Yeah, but it's not really, it's not a viable business as much as it used to be anyway. But also these people are just retiring, dying, whatever.
I think Stephen Sapp, who's the chair of Boone County Farmers Market, told me they actually lost several in just the last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's too bad. And meantime, and at the Columbia's Farmer Market, meantime, you've got a lot. You've also got this committee out there trying to figure out how to do what they're doing best, right? You've got a lot of people thinking about what you're doing.
Yeah, a lot of people thinking about
it. The other side who, at Boone County, who by definition just said, we're going to do what we do. We're not going to worry too much about all the implications otherwise. So, okay. So is everybody still contentious? I mean, it's been a while.
I wouldn't say it's still contentious. You know, I asked both Dan Kibler and Stephen Sapp, representatives of Columbia Farmers Market and Boone County Farmers Market, respectively. And they each talked about how this was an old fight, old wounds, and that they basically settled it. They haven't settled the issue that caused them to split, obviously, because they are still in their mm-hmm. areas. But yeah, they know who they are. If they see each other socially, it's not a big deal. I don't think there's a lot of emotion left there.
Okay, but what about this? Here's the funny thing, right? Is that one part of this whole split? The start was that the structure idea, right? But you go to the Columbia Farmers Market, and there's no structure there.
I guess they love their pop-up tents.
Is that it? Pop-up tent technology, yeah. Like basically made this whole fight for naught?
Yeah, I don't think that's exactly what happened, but I think I do wonder if it actually kind of lessened a little bit of the
focus
the
maybe on
it.
That or yeah.
Yeah, yeah yeah
well and you mentioned it before, the plans that they have there, you can see picture like mock-ups of it on their Facebook page, I think the Sustainable Farms and Communities page, this huge expansive, you know, modern looking shelter that would kind of, you know, have walkways that are sheltered as well and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's like almost a $3 million proposal, right? So that money doesn't come easily when you're talking about
the money doesn't come easily.
Yeah.
So now what's happened actually is that Sustainable Farms and Communities has kind of they put the brakes on the whole pavilion thing for now. So they stopped actively fundraising and they've actually are thinking about redesigning the structure to make it a little bit more modest.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, one thing is it's still got to be big because they got about 80 vendors, so they're going to need to make it bigger than that so that they don't outgrow it. So it's still going to be big. It's not going to be cheap, but I think they realize it needs to be a little bit less than $3 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But they are doing some other things now. You know, they're still doing their education stuff and outreach stuff. They have this cool program right now where they match EBT funds, that is food stamps, if they're used for farmers market produce. They'll match up to $100 a month, which is a pretty good deal because you can get a lot of produce for $200 a month.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And but then the other thing is just, again, from the user standpoint, right, that I don't know which place to go. I don't know all this background about these two places. Is that a problem for the vendors there, that people get confused about which is the official farmer's market? I mean, I guess technically they can both be the original, right, because they both have a claim to that.
Both have a claim to that. They both have some people that go all the way back to the beginning. Steven Sapp, who with Boone County Farmers Market, he talks about growing up in farmers markets. He was just like a few years old, and he'd be out there every Saturday. He talked about how back in the day they used to have a rope at the entrance that they would hold up and then drop it down so everybody would run in. I don't quite know why you're showing up at like 6 a.m. for the farmers market, but I guess people were excited for it to open up.
Wow. Okay. Like getting the best deals. Like
getting the best deals, I guess. Like, but it's funny he mentioned that because it's just like, I bet you that's kind of an exciting thing when you're a kid.
Yeah, sure.
Know, watching like, all these people lined up, like watching the rope drop.
Yeah, that's cool.
But so I asked Dan Kibler with Columbia Farmers Market, like, is this a marketing issue? Is it hard for people to understand like where they're supposed to go? And he says, no. It's, you know, they got their thing. We got our thing. They're different kind of markets too. You know, a Boone County Farmers Market is smaller and it's bare bones on purpose, right? There's no sustainability stuff. There's no like, there's no music. There's no performers. It's just like straight up
shopping. Come buy your produce, get out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Nice to
so,
see you. Yeah.
Columbia Farmers Market, you know, they have performers. They have a lot of like hobbyist vendors. There's a more kind of like diversity in the
information
kinds of things
tables,
you can get
there. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, the funny thing is I went and asked Steven Sapp with the smaller Boone County Farmers Market, and I said, is this a marketing issue, expecting him to give me the same line Dan Kibler did? And he said, absolutely. He said, people are still coming up to him saying, I didn't know you moved here. What is this place? Why does it look different?
And it's been 10 years now?
It's been like 10 years now, and people are confused about it. You know, before we started this story, I didn't know that they existed. Actually,
yeah, I knew they did. We haven't gone to the farmers market in a while. I actually live in Ashland. Oops, I do a show about Columbia, and I live in Ashland. But there's a farmers market there we'll occasionally go to. So I hadn't been in a while. But no, you're right. I think it's smaller by definition. It's not, again, that land where the Columbia farmers market is really desirable land, right? Right there off a stadium, which has grown into one of the biggest business areas in our town. So. But, okay, you know what? One thing, if people who have listened to this show before know one thing I'm always good for is useless trivia. I found some useless trivia this week about the Ark. You probably have not noticed this, but near the pool at the Ark, there is a tombstone for someone named Stonewall King, which sounds like a really important person, but it's actually a horse. It was a world-renowned American saddlebred stallion that was honored at the 1947 Boone County Fair, which is where the Boone County Fairgrounds used to be there. That's one of the few reminders that was the Boone County Fairground. Mm. So there's a tombstone there for Stonewall King. He is buried near that marker. The great stallion was laid to rest there at that time, the site of the county fairgrounds. So there's your assignment. Go find the horse tombstone.
So weird. We walked into this studio and you got a picture of this like tombstone in front of you. I'm like, that's not in the notes.
Where did that come from, you weirdo? Yep. You can count on that.
I guess some trivia about Missouri in the farmers market world. You know, last year it was something like it was 19th. It was the 19th most farmers marketed states.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's like near the middle.
We're
near the middle on most things in Missouri. We're usually at the bottom or the top.
But this year, it's got the 9th most farmers markets in the country.
Oh, wow.
And got up into the top 10.
Moving up.
Yeah. That's a huge growth. So it's really, really fast growing. One of the fastest states in terms of farmers market growth.
And I suppose that makes sense, too, because we're going to have a lot more farmers here than in, you know, East Coast states, that kind of thing. So that makes a lot of sense, I guess. So maybe we were kind of behind at 19th. I guess if you think about it, how many farming states there are.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a lot. There was a lot of untapped farmers market potential in the state, for sure.
Yeah, and everybody's thinking local, organic, that kind of stuff. So that makes sense as well. At least I know here in Missouri, we talk about it a lot more than we used to.
Yeah,
probably been a bigger issue on the coasts for a while now. But
yeah, so. Yeah, it's a big deal. Always a big deal in public radio.
Absolutely, it is.
Farmers market.
Yes. So we're officially announcing that our podcast is going to be about farmers markets from now on. Right. Farmers market politics. That's the topic of this show.
Our colleague Raymond was telling me the other day that some other public radio station, it might have been KCRW in Los Angeles, has like a weekly update. Like a weekly farmer's market.
On farmer's markets?
On farmer's market.
Wow.
I don't quite know what you could come up with every week.
I was going to say, I was completely joking because that seemed like something no one would ever do and it'd be a waste of time, but maybe there's a market for that. We'll see.
So that's going to do it for Como Explained. I am Scott Pham. My co-host is Ryan Femuliner. We just want to mention real quick that we have a ton of really good ways to listen to Como Explained online. If you're on the KBIA website right now, then you know you can listen online every Wednesday. But what's even better is to find us on iTunes. There's a link to our iTunes page on KBIA.org. Subscribe to that and get an MP3 automatically downloaded each and every week to your computer or mobile phone. While you're up on our iTunes page, rate us or leave us a comment there. We really, really, really like comments. We want to know what you want explained about Columbia. Email us at news@kbia.org. Tweet us @KBIA. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.